What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the All Days Off podcast. We are here in Williams, Brooklyn. It's your boy, Alex Aronson, with your other boy, Corey Oskowitz. What's good, buddy?
What up, man? How we living?
It's good. It's crazy. It's like I haven't seen you since, like, Jesus, we had 12 hours ago. It's 3:30 in the afternoon right now. We had another late night. How you feeling?
I'm feeling all right. You know, yeah. I'm feeling pretty good. Yeah. Could be feeling better, but can I always be feeling better?
Yeah, we always can. Yeah. You know, there's a lesson to be learned still for me when it comes to going out
what
at night.
It?
At some point, just call it a night.
You
sort of did it last night, right? Like, yeah. I hung around like an hour later at the bar than you did, which was already 2 hours later than either of us needed to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just if nothing really is going to go down,
call it a night.
Just go home.
Yeah.
I remember I wrote this down on my phone. Think about your tomorrow self, Alex. I was not thinking about my tomorrow self last night.
You weren't?
No.
I've been going through these, you know, the last, like, few nights, so I've been just going out, and it's been weird with the shows and stuff, because I have, like, a certain time frame to, you know, pregame before I go else out, you know, to other spots. And, you know, it's just the timing. It kind of screwed up my vibe, and I've been taking early nights. It's not been good.
Yeah.
I've kind of just been calling it quits way too early.
It's hard because then you go home like, oh, I'm a loser, everybody. Yeah. But even though, like, no one's really.
I just feel like sometimes when I'm out and the place I'm at isn't that fun, like, other people can be like, hey, I'll make the best of it. I'm kind of just like, this place sucks. I need to leave,
yeah.
You know?
Everybody come to my apartment. All right, we'll meet you there. All right, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm just sitting alone waiting for people to come over and nobody ever comes. It never happens. I'm always begging people. They're like, oh, dude, that sounds like such a sick idea. Let's have a party at yours. I'm like, please, I'm begging you. And yeah. Nobody ever shows up.
Yeah. And then so it got to a point last night. It was like 3:30. And
Jesus.
The crew that was there was like, we're going to karaoke. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm
miserable.
And I almost, it was our friend's birthday. And I was almost like, all right, yeah, I'll go to karaoke. And then I was about to go. And then it seemed like the plan was falling apart.
Okay.
So I was like, bye, everybody. I'm leaving. See ya. Because it seems like karaoke's not happening. Like, all right, see you later. Then everyone's like, all right, karaoke, let's go. And they start walking towards karaoke. And I kind of felt like, should I go with them?
Did you think
them?
You missed out?
I'm sure I did not.
You know, it's weird. Your move probably just, like, forced them to actually, like, make a move, right? Because it seemed like they were in some sort of limbo stage where, yeah. Like, they were going to plan on doing this, but, like, they were in this, like, little small talk stage for, like, 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So your move kind of forced a hand on them. Okay, like, let's actually go to karaoke.
Yeah.
Which, to me, kind of sounds miserable. I'm not a karaoke fan.
Neither.
It could be fun, I guess, but, like, why? What's fun about it?
I have to be, like, exceptionally drunk to, like, really. I don't grab the mic and sing. It's not.
Okay.
I've never been a fan of karaoke. Like, I've had some fun nights doing it because, like, but the only situation I've usually done it in is, like, with your coworkers.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's the first time you're getting hammered with your coworkers, you know?
I just don't see, like, karaoke. I could see it being fun sometimes, but I feel like most of the times it's just not.
Yeah.
But the people who, are like, love it, they love it.
Yeah. You know, Drew, who was on our podcast, he is, like, the biggest karaoke guy.
He's a big
guy.
Karaoke guy?
Well, like, that was his birthday a few years ago.
Really?
Like, he just, like, he gets, I've never seen somebody so hyped.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I want to know his go-to song.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot of, who's that ska band?
Jesus. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, Real Big Fish. Bands. And, like, some other stuff. And, you know, I give people credit who, like, really want to, like, sing, I guess. It's just not a skill. I would rather dance in front of a bunch of people 100%. Than sing.
100%, yeah. Me too. I just feel like the person who organizes the karaoke event really, like, wants to prove something.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, we're going to karaoke. This is what we're doing. I'm singing this song. They've had it in their head for weeks.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you're probably not a good singer.
Yeah.
Which makes it better, right? If you're not a good singer. Like, what if you're an okay singer? Isn't that weird?
There is always, like, I went to this one karaoke place where, because usually it's like, you get this, like, hot, steamy little room where it's just like, whatever, your crew.
Okay.
But I did one where it was just like a big bar where everybody's listening and whatever. And yeah, one person eventually would get on who's really good. And it's like, this isn't entertaining.
Yeah, they're just good.
If I wanted to see a good singer, I would go to a concert. Like,
it's like, I guess I'm trying to think of, like, something to compare it to. When you get to, like, some sort of good amount of level that you're too good for karaoke. Mm-hmm. I got MMA fighters are not allowed to punch anybody because their hands are weapons.
Yeah.
If you're this good of a singer, you can't go to karaoke.
Yeah, and it's funny. There was this MMA fighter a few weeks ago who, like, some guy was, like, drunk, and the MMA fighter walked from behind him and, like, just, like, moved, basically just, like, moved him over.
Yeah.
Dick move, whatever, but this guy's huge, and this dumbass, like, tried to step to him. Like, yeah. Really was not threatening the guy, and he just knocked him out cold.
It was weird because it was one of those videos where you didn't really know the full story. It seemed like the guy who wasn't the MMA fighter was being a huge dick the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, he was being annoying, blah, blah, blah. And then the MMA fighter, like, he seemed clearly annoyed by this guy, and he tried, like, you know, walking past him. And he didn't make much of a move. It was kind of just like a, like, get out of my way type of thing. And then mm-hmm. the guy got in this guy's face, and then he literally just cracked him.
Yeah.
He knocked him out cold.
Yeah.
And I was reading through the comments. It was like, some people are just like, well, don't be a fucking dick at a bar the entire time. And the other people are just like, well, that guy's an MMA fighter. Like, even if you're a dick at a bar, like, get, like, hold yourself together and, like, don't do that.
You literally can kill somebody with your own hands. You have a responsibility to not do that.
Yeah. And it's not like I think the fighter said that he felt threatened. Like,
bullshit.
Shut the fuck up.
Dude.
Oh my God.
Guy's like,
even if the other guy swung, it wouldn't have been a threat.
No, it would have done that.
He probably would have, you know, dodged the swing. I don't know. I was reading through that. I was just like, yeah. I mean, it's one of those scenarios where, like, you think, like, that asshole, you know, at the bar, it's like, oh, this guy has something coming for him one day.
Yeah.
Apparently that guy did.
Yeah, but just not from an MMA fighter. Yeah. You know, no civilian deserves that.
Yeah, that's fucked up. That's a few Advil in the morning.
Yeah, dude. Oh my God.
He would not be able to record the podcast.
And just how, like, humiliating that is for that guy.
Is it a humiliating, though?
Or is it like, it's like McLovin, like, oh, you really can take a punch, dude. You know?
Like, it'd be humiliating if it was, like, you know, some dweeb, but it was an MMA fighter, so it's just, like, I think he's probably tried suing him or something.
It's humiliating. It's humiliating to, because he was, like, clearly very, I mean, one of my nightmares, because in this era of everybody has a video camera on them, is, like, being on Barstool and, like, some video of you, like, drunk, passed out somewhere. Because those were, like, those still are very popular videos. Like, people stumbling all over the place and, like, falling. Or, like, I remember some video circulated in college. This girl in Indiana was just, like, literally laying on the floor, like, pissing everywhere. You know, like, that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, of course.
I never did that. Like, that was, like, you know, that's, like, a nightmare for anybody. It's, like, for some embarrassing, you and your worst.
Yeah.
Just becomes a video that millions of people see.
Yeah, you don't want to be the, is it Charlotte Takes a Tumble? What was that? The OG video.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't remember that?
Charlotte.
It was like one of the first YouTube videos that, like, really went viral. Mm. It was like this fat girl singing on top of a table, and then she falls.
Yeah.
And then that was peak internet. That's when everything kind of just clicked. And everyone's like, this is what we need more of for the next 10 years.
Drunk chicks on tables falling.
Wasn't even drunk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I think Charlotte Takes a Tumble. Somebody took a tumble. Somebody took a tumble, and ever since that, the internet has just been undefeated. So you don't want to be that person in that video.
For sure.
there's new stuff. You know, we have what were we talking about the other week? The disaster girl meme.
Right.
She made some money.
So that was the girl, like, in front of the burning house.
Yeah. She made some money. Now, Success Kid meme, one of the first memes ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's Bad Luck Brian, there's Scumbag Steve, and then there's Success Kid meme.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, is apparently his dad, his real name's Sammy Griner. His dad, Justin Griner, has had failing kidneys for the last 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day for 6 years, he's been on dialysis, like, for hours a day. And apparently it came out that, you know, there is actually a kidney available for him. So they made this GoFundMe, and they easily made $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty successful of the Success Kid meme, you know? He's pretty, he's successing out there. He's living up to the meme, and he's like this little kid. And I think he did the meme again. But that's just good to see, you know, it comes full circle.
I just imagine, cause since you just kind of stuttered over it, Success Kid, like, if that kid was here, you're like about to say the name of his meme. It's like, oh, you fucked it up.
I failed at the Success Kid meme. Whatever.
It would be kind of funny if his dad got the operation and it failed.
And it failed.
It's just like, It's a not new success meme. Kid, just like crying at his dad's funeral. You know, that's the new meme.
The new meme.
Yeah.
The new meme. Yeah. It would be, and the doctor was actually Scumbag Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
And the dad is Bad Luck Brian.
Yeah.
It all comes full circle.
And all these memes just come full circle.
Everything's coming full circle. But so, I thought it was cool to see.
Yeah, it's a bummer because, I mean, again, this kid's picture has been circulated who knows how many times. And you don't profit off that until something tragic happens to your family.
Yeah, that's what we were saying before. Yeah. I think that I forgot what happened with the disaster girl, but something was happening.
Like somebody, your house burned down. Isn't that what it was? Like your house burned down.
No. It was the dad took a picture of the girl in front of the house that was already burning down. It wasn't their house. I think it was somebody else's.
That's fine.
But I think
they
somebody
just have to be walking by a burning house. Like, oh, do that thing that you're famous for.
Somebody needed a surgery.
Yeah.
That's when all these kids, they don't make money. Like these viral meme kids, they don't make money until somebody needs a surgery.
Yeah.
And then the GoFundMe.
Yeah. It's never like, hey, success kid can't afford college.
Yeah.
You know?
And like what you were telling me before is like they didn't even make any money anyway. Like all the money just went to the surgery.
Went to medical bills. Yeah.
I don't know.
That's all memes are good for these days is if your dad needs a kidney transplant, try and be a meme kid. Kids, get on all the socials. Take a funny picture, put it on the internet, and if your dad's about to die, you can raise money for him.
Yeah. That's
thank
America.
You, internet.
Yeah, that's America.
Much
that's
appreciated. let's see. I mean, the fucking mental health has been in the news quite a bit.
Yeah, we're a little late, but you know, Simone Biles is she took a bail. You know, she bailed.
We love a good bail here at the All Days Off podcast. Good for you, Simone. Bail. I want to bail on my responsibility. Simone Biles. Listen, beyond the fact that she bailed, like it's totally like I'm on her side on this one. Like people were very against it that she bailed. But like, so I'm kind of mad at how much I now know about gymnastics.
Yeah. It's crazy how pissed off everybody got from this.
Yeah.
I just think the way that her team portrayed it in the first part, nobody knew what was happening. Everyone thinks like, yeah, she just kind of quit.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's her team's fault for like putting it out like that. Apparently what happened is, you know more about it?
Yeah, I mean, so she was not doing well. Like, she was in a bunch of competitions and, like, really fucking up.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching, like, she, like, almost flew off the fucking mat, the floor routine. Yeah. She, like, basically almost flew off it. And, like, she's the best in the world. So, like, you never, she, like, fell off the beam. And that's, that's, like, dropping the mic. You know? It's just, like, it's, like, a really bad look. And so she wasn't performing well. So I think because of that, it made it seem like, oh, she's just not. She doesn't have it.
Yeah,
so, like, she's
bad,
just like throwing
she's
in
quitting.
The towel. Yeah. She's just quitting. But like, if you're not mentally in it and you're putting your body on the line, you could really hurt yourself.
100%.
So like, yeah, get the fuck. Yeah, don't do it.
This is it's different. People kind of, you know, at first when it came out, it just said, okay, Simone Biles is just bailing. She's just bailing. She did bad, so she's just quitting.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's not really what happened.
No.
Like, and she said a very vague mental health, which is so vague and it feels like such a cop out.
Yeah.
And honestly, at first I did kind of think it was a cop out, but then like people went into it and it's actually something called the twisties.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a separate, I think it was like, well, that's where I'm a little confused. Which one is it? Were you
well,
not
isn't
mentally
that,
with
isn't
it?
That kind of the same thing?
I thought the twisties was more just like, so you're in the air and you just like don't. You just lose perspective on like how many more turns you have and like where you're gonna land.
That seems pretty mental health related.
Yeah, maybe.
But not focused.
I mean, you're very, there's a twisties version of comedy. You have the not funnies.
Yeah,
right
I currently
now.
Have the not funnies. So I've been bailing on a bunch of stuff.
You just bail on comedy.
Yeah.
The problem with this is that mental health, just saying mental health issues is like a very generic sort of thing. And there's obviously been a movement to be more like accepting of like mental health struggles.
Yeah.
But like we all have like people make it seem like anxiety isn't something that everybody has to deal with. Like, yeah, it affects some people more than others. But I feel like this is like people, I think, take on mental health as like an identity.
Yes.
And people are like, okay, yeah, Simone Biles has anxiety. So do I. So I'm just going to sit here and be like, the person who has mental health issues.
That's the problem. The way the media is doing this is just like making everybody hate her more.
She's
like,
making her, they're making her out to be a hero for like addressing her mental health.
Which is pissing people off.
Which doesn't normalize it. Yeah. That's not normalizing, you know, taking care of your mental health. That's just making it out to be this like huge thing that we all have to be you know, on the lookout for people, you know?
Yeah. It's just crazy how like everything is politicized nowadays, and now even gymnastics.
Yeah.
Gymnastics has political. To be political.
Yeah, yeah.
It can't not be. Everybody's got, and I think the biggest part, you know, leading up to this was there were all these, like all these sports accounts had put like most clutch, like, you know, best athlete of all time. And she was obviously included in those. And like, I'm sure people were just like, what about Michael Jordan, blah, blah, blah. Like to put her in the same thing as like Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, like all these people. Like, so like obviously a bunch of like dudes, like hardo dudes would get super pissed off. So like when this happened, they were loving it. They're like, she just quit. She bailed. MJ had his flu game, but like, totally different sport.
Yeah.
Basketball is pretty fucking soft, not gonna lie. Like, I enjoy watching it. I enjoy playing it. It's fucking soft. Gymnastics, like, you're doing 17 fucking backflips in the air, and, like, a sneeze, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're paralyzed for the rest of your life. Yeah. So, like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Gold medalists win $36,000, which I'll piss that out every morning. Literally nothing, right?
I don't agree with that.
Right? But, like, seriously, though, like, it's all this effort in your entire life, and you win a gold medal. It's great. Like, she has enough gold medals, but, like, to, like, risk, you know, paralyzing yourself for the rest of your life for 36K doesn't seem that worth it.
Yeah. Also, like, what's different from this is, like, gymnastics or gymnasts, all you really have, from what I understand, there's, like, the worlds, I guess, like, every year. But, like, other than that, it's every 4 years you get your one shot to win an Olympic gold medal. You know, Michael Jordan went out every year to try and win a championship. You know, it's like, it's definitely, I think, more pressure on these athletes because, like, it's a one shot deal. Look at Michael Phelps now. Now he's all depressed because he's like, I can't be a competitive swimmer anymore. And that's all I did my whole life.
Yeah. And that's what I was also thinking. Like, what do, like, if you're not Michael Phelps, if you're not like the top guy, but like you're still like pretty fucking up there, like for swimming and stuff like that, like, what, how do you make money? Like, it's all endorsements, but like, you get your endorsements by being the best of the best in the Olympics.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll never understand, like, because when Michael Phelps came out talking about like his struggles with mental health, I guess like the idea is that this will help normalize it and make other people feel better about it. Like, me hearing that Michael Phelps, who's like super rich and wealthy, like struggles with mental health, doesn't make me feel
I don't give
better.
A shit about that.
Like, I've never understood that. Like, when Meghan Markle came out and was talking about all of her, and like, listen, I'm a white dude, so like it's different, but like, you're like crazy rich and privileged. Yeah. You have every fucking privilege in the world.
I don't know.
Like, I don't think a regular person who's dealt with the type of racism that you have is like, oh, I feel better now.
Yeah.
Meghan Markle's dealing with it.
I just feel like, you know, it's obviously good to talk about it, you know, make it a little bit more normal for people to go out, seek the help they need. But like, coming out making her a hero is just going to make everybody hate her.
Yeah, and you think that's what she wanted?
Yeah, you think she wants that.
Like, oh, you're a hero because you like weren't feeling well and you said, you know, and I'm going to take a break. Like, that, you're not a hero for that.
Yeah, I don't agree with, you know, what they're doing, because it is definitely, you know, causing this huge, you know, division between everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's causing more people to fucking hate her.
Yeah.
And it's causing more people to hate the people that fucking hate her.
Yeah.
So just this whole thing, and like, just drop it.
Yeah.
They should have came out saying, yeah, she's like not focused. Gymnastics is a sport where like you need to be at 100% focus level or you fucking die.
Yeah.
Like, that should have been the first thing they said.
Yeah.
Coming out just saying mental health very vaguely.
Yeah.
I'm quitting on the Olympics. So then people are just like, well, what about the other people who, you know, Simone Biles spot? Like, I think a lot, the main argument against that, or against Simone Biles herself, was that she was taking a spot away from somebody who could have gotten it, so she should have quit beforehand instead of already doing bad, which makes sense.
But that would have been even bigger headline news.
Yeah,
then,
yeah.
If she didn't even show up to the Olympics, so that would have been like almost even more.
To be fair, she's also 24, which is like 95 in gymnastics years, right?
Yeah.
You're like already old as fuck.
Yeah, and like, again, she's like the best in the world. There's all this pressure on her. Like, if she really, being the best in the world, then quit, like, it had to be not.
Yeah.
She had to be in a bad spot.
Yeah.
And no, so, I like, agree. Again, the word hero is just, like, totally meaningless now.
Yeah, meaningless.
I think it's because we talked about this last episode, Drew. Every fucking day there's a new superhero movie out. Everyone's a hero. Everyone's a superhero now.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess to finalize our take is just, like, we, you know, obviously we're not shit talking Simone Biles. She should have bailed. She should have bailed, but like the media shouldn't have like portrayed her to be this like superhero person for doing what she did. Like, cause then it's making everybody hate her. It's making everybody look at all this as this huge joke.
Yeah.
And it's just like completely delegitimizing her and everything that's happened from like most of the population that disagrees with what she did.
Yeah.
So I think it's stupid.
And if you honestly care enough, if you're so upset that, and also like another American gymnast won the gold in all around. Yeah, so yeah, like, shouldn't we be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate her, let's you know?
Yeah, hell yeah.
But like, if you're like, if you're feeling less American or less patriotic because Simone Biles didn't win the gold, like, I struggle to believe that there's people out there who really feel that way.
It's crazy. We were talking about this before as well. We were just like, I didn't know how many people really gave that much of a fuck about gymnastics.
They didn't. It's the same way that a lot of people who like aren't getting the vaccine because they're worried about how it's going to fuck with their DNA don't even know what DNA stands for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or, no, or totally how like it works or people, anything.
Everything is about politics nowadays. So and no matter what the topic is, there has to be some sort of take to make it either the left is right or the right is right.
Yeah.
It's just like,
it's crazy. I feel like mental health is now turning into politics where you can't have a conversation without politics coming up. And now like we're going to get to a point where like you're talking to someone and they're like, all right, so what antidepressants are you on?
Yeah.
You know,
it's honestly ridiculous.
And a lot of it too is I feel like everybody is looking for some way that they've been oppressed so that they can speak on a topic and can feel special. And this is just more ammunition to people being like, yeah, mental health is a real problem, but just making it into a bigger problem doesn't solve it.
Yeah, 100%. People want to be unique. They want something that makes them stand out.
Yeah.
And that kind of is. And like, obviously, you know, it exists, but like, don't make it your personality.
Yeah.
Like, just like deal with it. Go to therapy. Figure it out.
Talk to a friend. Yeah. Don't look to Simone Biles to make you feel better. Talk to a fucking friend.
Yeah.
And if you care so much about the Olympics and Simone Biles and gymnastics, you may not have many friends. So I get it.
I barely watch the Olympics this year. I don't like the Summer Olympics, to be honest. I think it's always boring.
Yeah.
The running and swimming is cool to me. But, you know, I think the Winter Olympics are so much better.
Yeah. I agree with you that I do. I like the Winter Olympics better. I will say, like, growing up, I really liked watching the Olympics. Like, yeah, my mom was really into it. She loved, like, the figure skating. She loved the gymnastics. And I would watch it with her. I haven't watched it now more out of just, like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
I don't know when it's on. I'm out every night doing stuff. Like, 100%. And that's when the main events happen. And, like, I'm just not watching. And I loved hearing that the basketball team, like, lost to fucking Ethiopia or some shit. Like, it's hilarious.
That was also kind of crazy how they lost. But I was watching diving yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Like, that stuff's pretty cool.
So diving is cool, but I'm watching this and I'm just like, okay, I don't know if it's good. I have to wait until the dive is done and for the announcers to say whether or not it was a good dive.
Yeah.
Because every time I'm just like, oh, that was good, right?
I can't do that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that was good, right? Yeah. And then you hear the announcer, that was phenomenal. That was the best thing ever. I was like, oh, it just kind of looked like the last dive. And then you see the next dive is pretty much looks exactly the same. Like, oh, yeah, fucked up here. Should have, they held it too long.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just something I have to wait on, like, the analysis to, like, tell me whether or not it was a good dive.
Yeah. You could only tell if it was a really bad dive if they end up doing, like, a belly flop at the end.
Like, one girl really fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She, like, was jumping and she just, like, stopped and then just, like, did a pencil. And I was like, that was a solid pencil.
I think it would be hilarious, like, just to, like, spice up the Olympics a little bit. Just throw a regular person in there. Just one regular person. Just to like if you put me in there, to like, okay, go do a floor routine now.
That would be so funny if they just threw some regular ass dude in all and almost every single, well, not the team ones, but like the single sport events. Like you'll see the 100-meter sprint. You just see some regular ass dude, or just like diving, some regular ass chick just diving, or some dude just diving, and you're just like, what the fuck?
Dude, that'd be hilarious. Like the medley relays in swimming when you're like, it's like four people doing like all these crazy strokes going back and forth. These are crazy athletes, but every country gets one normie,
one
civilian that has to like, and they're just like coming up for air and like, you know. Yeah.
The race takes like another 10 minutes because they're still waiting for like some guy.
Yeah. That's a world record for a civilian. It only took him 3 hours to do 400 meters.
It would be like the draft where like you're just like randomly selected no matter, or like I guess jury duty.
Yeah.
No, every country just has some one random dude that they have to throw in the Olympics just to kind of like make it fun. You know? Make it entertaining.
Or the future of the Olympics, which we saw a little sneak peek of this, might be robots just doing it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because so there was this video, I guess, during like halftime of one of the basketball games, they brought this like Japanese robot that was made by, you know, Japanese scientists or whatever, that was like shooting three pointers and half court shots, and I was so unimpressed. I'm like, we can drop bombs with great precision on people with a drone.
Yeah,
I expected that our robots could shoot a three.
Yeah,
like, you know,
and that I agree. I was watching the video, you showed it to me, and I was just like, I hope this robot can hit it. Like, it's a straight shot. And like you just said, like we could do all that. And you're throwing a ball in a hoop. Like
yeah,
that's where we're at right now. What would have impressed me? So it happened. It started as a free throw, and it was just in the middle of the court. It was a free throw. He hit it, or she hit it.
It hit it. They hit it.
Yeah, they hit it. It was funny because it took forever for them to shoot the shot. What you were talking about? It was like Giannis at whatever fucking taking forever. You see those videos of all these sports plays that take like. There's these like 100-yard receiving returns that are finished before Giannis actually takes the free throw. Yeah. And that reminded me of the robot. But it wasn't impressive at all because it stayed in the center of the court, and then you took a free throw in the center of the line, and then you took a three at the center of the line, and they hit both of them. And then it was a half-court shot. He missed both the half-court, or it missed both the half-court shot. What would have impressed me very much, I actually would have been very impressed, is if the robot was doing like was moving laterally, was moving to the left or right and then shooting it, because then you're just like, oh shit, like that's actually very impressive. But the fact that it's like a catapult, it's like you click a button and the catapult just knows like how long to, like, you know what I mean? It's like automated. So like,
give me a robot who can do the MJ from Space Jam, like half court, you know, like extending its arm like all the way to dunk. That'll be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And speaking of like, if the American gymnast didn't win the all around gold, I'm not feeling less patriotic. But if this was like an American robot that just kept chucking up like bricks, I'd be like, God, this country sucks. Yeah. You know?
It also, what you were saying before is how like we used to be so excited for the Olympics. I think it's like another woke pretzel where, you know, it's not cool to like root for America. It's not
right
cool.
Now,
it really is not. Like, it's not even like wearing like an American flag on the 4th of July. Like, people, like woke people would just be like, yo, like, you can't be rocking that. Like,
yeah.
You're a Nazi.
Yeah.
Which is like ridiculous.
But I remember one time.
I hate it. I hate that shit. Like, you can't, like, I loved like just like going all out for the 4th and like wear red, white, and blue, all the other thing. And now, like, they're treating on like Simone Biles, like, yay, Simone Biles, yay, gymnastics team, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're only allowed to root and like be patriotic, I think, now if it's like for something woke, for like women's sports.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it becomes this whole debate that, you know, women aren't getting paid as much as men. Politics again.
Right.
It's this whole thing. You can't be pro-American unless like you're rooting for Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. And if you're and then if you say something like, "Oh, I just like I don't find women's sports entertaining." You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You
know? That's a whole different topic.
Yeah.
But
still, no, you feel like you're not allowed to express that opinion that you decide is like, I don't know. I don't like I'm not into women's sport. I'm not into soccer. You know, that's why I'm not watching.
I actually kind of enjoyed watching them in the Olympics and stuff, but whatever. It's a whole different
thing. Alex Morgan's a smoke.
Yeah, Alex Morgan's so hot, honestly. But yeah.
Did you went to sleepaway camp, right?
Of course.
They do Olympics? Or was it Color War?
Color War, yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's funny that Color War is still something that you're allowed to like. That seems like a phrase that should be canceled.
Yeah. You just call it race war.
Yeah, exactly. We used to have, I forget what it was called, but everyone would be like a different Indian tribe.
Yeah,
I don't think that can be gone. Yeah, that's no longer.
The Indians aren't even a team.
The Guardians now.
Yeah, Guardians.
That makes the Washington football team sound like a great team name.
That was like a petty move by Snyder at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, now he's not. But like, I wonder if they'll change it to something else. That was such a petty move. Like, well, we can't be the team anymore. Now we're just the football team. Okay,
yeah,
you guys, everybody happy?
Yeah, everybody happy now.
You happy now? So who else needs to change? So that puts the Chiefs at a spot. Well, mm-hmm. the Chiefs is different, right? Like, I feel like that's just like a name. It's not like, is that, you know, is that, is that
yeah, racist? I don't know, because they also, like, the problem with the Indians was their logo was, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Not, which they got rid of, I think, a while ago, was just, like, a red face. Yeah. You know? So, like, that, like...
That's bad.
Yeah.
Redskins bad. Like,
but
that
the Chiefs
sense.
Is just, like, an arrowhead.
The Chiefs is just, yeah, and it's, like, it just, the Chief is just, like, the head of a tribe, you know what yeah. I mean? It's, like, how, is that bad, or is that just, like, saying something?
Yeah, that's,
you know?
Like, if there was, like, the New York rabbis, you yeah. know, I'd be like, I wouldn't, whatever.
Yeah, whatever, right? I don't know.
Unless they had like a massive nose and was like, you know, just like holding pennies in their hands, then yeah. yeah.
Who else needs who? I know there's other teams.
I feel like we've gotten rid of a lot of them now.
I know Chiefs was one of the main ones.
I think the Indians were like really the last one.
Yeah.
That needed to go.
Yeah. Well, the Giants are sick. So. Yeah,
totally. Speaking of Jews, rabbis, you came across this gangster rapper turned Orthodox Jew.
Yes.
Nissim Black.
Nissim Black, originally Damian Black, grew up in Seattle. His dad sold drugs. Then he started selling drugs. Like,
he said, I got into the family business. What a yeah. Jew.
he took over the family business at the age of 13. I think he was, I don't know if he was selling pot or something else. But you know, apparently he grew up with a pretty tough life, and then he turned Orthodox Jew, and he was always a rapper, but then he turned gangster rapper into Orthodox Jew rapper.
We were watching one of his music videos. I loved how there were no women in it. Not it was just all dudes, you know, just all dudes.
That's funny. He got becoming Jewish is a whole thing. It's like different, like from, they're like pretty exclusive about it. You got to like really like do all the shit. And then he got circumcised as an adult.
Yeah.
Which fucking, that's got to suck.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't fuck that, right?
Usually when babies get it, they give the rabbi or the moil or whatever the fuck they call it, will give you like a little dab of wine to yeah. like sedate them. But I heard Nissim Black got a dab of Hennessy.
Dab of Henny?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Kosher Henny.
Yeah, I was going to say, can Orthodox people drink, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's got to be kosher, though.
Jews party.
Yeah, Jews party. It's got to be kosher. But yeah, his big hit right now, if you guys want to check it out, it's called Motherland Bounce.
Motherland Bounce.
The Motherland Bounce.
He's on tour now in like New York. It sucks. There's like three places you can go. It's yeah. like, all right, I'm going to Boca, I'm going to New York and L.A. That's my tour.
He's got like a pretty funny getup, you know.
He literally looked like if Notorious B.I.G. was Jewish.
Yeah, <It's> like mega Jewish.
Yeah, yeah,
like fully rabbi. It was a whole thing. I just thought it was funny. The song itself isn't bad, you know. Give it a listen.
Yeah, I'm pro anything that makes Jews look cooler.
Yeah,
you know.
And like this guy, he just. Very Jewish of him. He saw an opportunity. He's like, not too many black Jewish rappers out there.
Yeah.
I'm going to exploit that, make that industry mine, and make some dough. And
he did like, some market research.
Yeah. You know? He looked into it, and he's like, you know what? You know, the Jewish rap game could use a couple black people.
Yeah, all we had was Modest Yahoo, and he was very not black.
Yeah, it wasn't even a little bit.
Used to be a huge Modest Yahoo fan.
Yeah.
I went to many concerts, many Modest Yahoo concerts.
Him, Amari, Stoudemire.
Yeah.
Who else?
Sammy
Kodak
Davis.
Black claims that he's now Jewish.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he loves it.
I love how this Nissim Black guy, he also tried out like three other religions before he settled on Judaism.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah, you know what? He did his market research.
You know, I always feel like my mom wanted me to be a bit more religious. I wonder if she like would see this guy who like didn't even grow up in a Jewish household and now is like, you know, wearing a fucking tallis every day.
Yeah. This is huge. Like, I could totally see like moms and dads just like trying to push this on, you know, some kid who's like listening to fucking Lil Pump or some shit.
Yeah.
It's like, just like, look at this, listen to this song. He's cool, right?
And it's
Nissim Black.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I can't wait to hear that it comes out that he's running some huge like Ponzi scheme and that his last name is actually like Moskowitz or some shit.
Nissim Blackowitz.
Or a Steen.
Speaking of things Jewish people do, real estate market is hitting it. It's hitting it right now.
Yeah.
There's actually a new, I don't know if you saw this, there's a really new $28 million house in Bel Air that just hit the market.
I have been house shopping for $28 million homes. I did see this one.
Very historical site, you know, full of history, rich history. Actually, the owner of it was Osama bin Laden. Yeah.
The terrorist.
Yeah,
Osama. The orchestrator of 9/11 used to own a home or his home in Bel Air.
Yeah.
Is up for sale.
Resident mansion in Bel Air, up for sale, just hit the market for 28 mil.
I didn't know Bin Laden was so loaded.
Yeah, of course he's loaded. Fucking, he had
what was he, did he have like a Muslim rap career? Well, I didn't know about this.
Yeah, he was competing with Nissan Black.
It's pretty funny. You're on the no-fly list, but you're on the buy any mansion you want list.
House is ready for redoing. The owner has not lived there in over 20 years, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, because of 9/11.
I hear there's a lot of great artwork. There's a metal structure that is actual metal beams from 9/11 from the Twin Towers. There's a nice piece of artwork in the house.
Who is going to live there? I want to know who buys that house. And just be like, yeah, it's where Osama used to live.
It would be pretty dope if the person who bought it is just like this like super American guy. Just blows
it's gonna
it
be Dan Bilzerian.
Blows it up.
Dan Bilzerian's gonna
just
fuck
sets
it
on fire.
How do you that's so I just could you imagine just like living in that area and to be like Kim Kardashian just like strolling out, oh, that's where Bin Laden used to live.
The paparazzi are waiting outside. We're trying to get a peek of Osama.
The entire time, that's where he was hiding. He's just hiding in
Bel Air.
In Hidden Hill.
Yeah, just eating avocado toast in Bel Air. That's all he was doing.
He's just some hippie guy, just like fitting in at like coffee shops in LA. he's hiding in plain sight.
And then when 9/11 happens, his neighbor's like, Osama, he was such a normal guy.
What the fuck?
Yeah. My kids hung out with his kids. My wife hung out with all of his wives.
I see him jogging in the neighborhood. Yeah. With his dogs.
Yeah, he wore these weird vests every now and then, but we didn't think it was anything crazy. We thought it was a fashion statement.
28 mil. It's good.
Ibrahim, I should get in the terrorism business.
Yeah, his brother Ibrahim just put it on the market.
I'll put a bid in.
Who's paying the Bin Ladens 28 mil for this house?
I think somehow probably the U.S. government.
Yeah, shouldn't they just steal it?
Yeah, can't it just be ours?
It? Yeah, can't they just steal it? It should be like a museum or something.
We should turn it into a museum. Yeah.
Museum. I don't know. Who's buying that house? Who's Bin Laden's house,
I would love to visit. I would love to just like go check it out. Yeah.
It looked pretty nice.
Maybe that could be our studio.
It definitely looks like a fixer-upper though. Owner hasn't lived there in 20 years. Yeah. He's been a bit busy.
It was really funny when they found him in that like Abbottabad compound in Pakistan and they killed him. There was all that like child porn and like, not child porn, but just like a ton of porn.
Yeah.
Like Osama was just a huge porn guy. Big porn scene in LA. Maybe they should turn that into a porn house.
That
would
be crazy.
Bang Bros, get on it, dude.
Oh my God. That is fucking insane. Nothing more American than that. How could he hate America so much with a $28 million mansion in Bel Air?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I heard he was dealing with some mental health struggles, too.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing more American coming back to death than just like bailing because of anxiety. Like, gosh, not feeling well.
Well, guys, it's been a fantastic ride with you. You guys have been so great, so chill. We love you so much. Rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends.
Yeah.
All the above. Thank you so much for listening. Keep listening. You guys are the best. We love you.
See ya.